Alex Newton, chiropractor from Beeston. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Alex.
It's lovely with the sun shining through the window for a little bit this afternoon anyway. Now, we thought we'd try and get to grips with sleep. Do you sleep reasonably well yourself?
Yes, mostly. Yes, yeah. My husband gets a bit cross because I'm a bit, put my head on the pillow and off
and
I go.
Gone.
So, that does annoy him a bit.
So, similar thing, really. I will go to bed, put my head on the pillow, and I generally don't have a problem. My wife may well be reading for a while, watching something on a tablet, you know, catching up on a bit of TV, that sort of thing.
Where she's going wrong, you see. Yes, she needs to switch off. So, a nice book, an old fashioned book, is good, isn't it? Switches off. They're looking at that, the screen. I mean, there is evidence there that suggesting that screen time before you go to bed, of any shape or form, whether it's on your tablet or your phone or even watching the television, you know, really need that hour before bedtime. So allow your brain to switch off. Yeah, that's what the minimum recommendation is, especially with the children, because they're on the PlayStations and whatever before they go to bed. It's not good for switching off the brain because the screens are so bright that it's actually telling the brain that it's actually daytime, not stimulating the release of those, is it melatonin that is needed to allow sleep to come? And that's not allowing that to be produced by looking bright screens. But you can change your screen colours, and there are various sort of make it more of a blue hue to it or something like that. But really stay away from that screen. And as I was just saying to you, if you look at your phone before you go to bed and you get an email or a message or a text from something that might just aggravate you a little bit, remember, your heart rate's going to go up, your adrenaline levels may increase, and having adrenaline pumping around your system when you're trying to get to sleep is not something that is productive to sleep production. So you need to burn that off if that's occurring before you go to sleep.
Alex, obviously we can talk with you about getting comfortable, getting the right posture when sleeping. We'll come on to that in a bit, because I think that does play a huge part, and being able to relax yourself. It was something that I heard people talking about for years and never thought that I should do it. And then I did start to do this thing of sort of trying to relax yourself from your feet upwards, which we'll perhaps talk about in a bit. Roy Mansfield Woodhouse has been in touch. He says, we're too obsessed with sleep. You should sleep when it feels right, and not just because the clock says so. That's all right if you're Roy, and maybe, you know, work is no longer a daily part of the routine. It's all right if you're right and you don't have kids.
Oh, dear.
You've got to
look
after.
Yeah. Well, we do have that sort of 9-to-5 job, don't we, that we need to sort of get that 8 hours if we can. Mm. You've got to have, I may misquote here, you've got to have at least 5 hours of consecutive sleep to allow the body to heal. Mm. So if you're not getting that 5 hours without being disturbed, whether it is the children or the neighbour's dog or, you know, whatever's going on in the background there, then certainly from my perspective in my profession, we can see people aren't getting decent night's sleep, perhaps because of pain. And if they're in pain and they're not getting the sleep, then that's going to inhibit the healing process. And that's really important from a chiropractic perspective there.
Mm. Stephen Sutton says, and this is a really interesting observation about sleep, the thing that keeps me awake is thinking about work when you've got to get up early. Isn't that a nuisance? Especially if it's a change to your routine and you know you've got an early start the next day.
If you're, I always find if you wake up in the middle of the night and start thinking about work, then you're in big trouble if there's something playing on your mind. But, you know, thinking about something else. And I said reading is probably one of the most sort of soporific type of actions that we could do, because we're exercising our eyes, which make our eyes tired. And then you can, I mean, my Kindle usually falls on my face as I drop off to sleep, but that usually find sort of 10-15 minutes there and before bed will help sort of switch the brain off, because you're thinking about something completely different that's not sort of work related and things, and go into a different world. And meditation, mindfulness, yoga, whatever you want to do, just cut that the rest of the life out, and make sure that that's not churning that brain up and increasing that heart rate and the adrenaline levels, as we said before.
At the risk of sounding like Lady Bracknell here, I need to say, your Kindle? What are you doing reading a tablet in bed? You should be.
But then you can turn it right down, so it's quite a nice.
Having recommended
light.
We put our electronic devices away an hour before bedtime.
Well, then you've got all your books. Yeah, it's the reading, isn't it?
Okay. All right, we'll let you off that one. What keeps you awake at night? I wonder. 0800 678 3434. Addressing some of the key things that stop people getting a good night's sleep. And as you've heard, 5 consecutive hours really seems to be the scientific thought on what you need to heal overnight. So if you're not getting 5 uninterrupted hours of sleep, then you need to think about why that is, what's causing you to be awake, and maybe we'll be able to give you some good guidance today here at BBC Radio Nottingham. Get in touch. You can text 8133 NOTS as your first word, and then what it is that keeps you awake at night or stops you getting your good night's sleep. Ah, the idea of a big fluffy marshmallow of a pillow as you try to get to sleep sounds delightful. Sometimes you read, you know, that I fell into the soft, welcoming bed and the sheets and the pillows, all soft and lovely. I don't know about you, Alex Newton, chiropractor. If I go into somebody's bed or, you know, a hotel or wherever, and the bed's too soft and the pillow's all down, I can't get to sleep at all. I need a good firm mattress underneath me. Well, what's the chiropractor's thought on that?
Well, rule one is if you've got a good pillow at home, take it with you when you go, even if it's just for one night, because that loss of luggage space is really worth having a decent night's sleep. And there's so many pillows on the market, and there's lots that some of the orthopedic, as soon as they put that orthopedic tag on it, they become very, very expensive. And I have a number of patients who have wardrobes full of pillows that they just keep experimenting with and just haven't found the right one. So you know, if you can get one that you can try and return, if it's no good and you can send it back, then that's going to save you a lot of money. But you know, they are, you know, do get a hefty a price tag, which does concern us. But you need really to have that support. The problem with these lovely big fuffy pillows is that, you know, they're not shaped, and they're not, you're not flat from the ear to the shoulder. There's a huge gap there, and that needs to be filled. So maybe, you know, a simple thing, if you've got one of those big fluffy pillows, you know, tie a piece of string or something around the middle, so you sort of almost have a bit of a butterfly. So that could sort of fill into the nape of the neck there to give your neck a little bit more support. It's all about supporting the neck, yeah, rather than the head. And if you can fill the gap between the shoulder and the neck, then that's going to keep the neck and the spine in neutral, which is going to stop you having that horrible stiff neck the next morning.
Wow, I'm just envisaging now, when you're somewhere else and the pillow's a bit soft, taking a belt or some shoelaces, taking the pillow out of the case, doing the butterfly thing with it, pop the case on. For that one or two nights you're there, that's your pillow.
Yeah.
As long as you remember to take it off before you leave. Otherwise your hosts might think, that was a bit, what were they up to in there with a belt around the pillow? But no, that's a fascinating thought. And when you stay with friends, for example, you are often on the second-rate bedding, aren't you? You know, yes, you've got the leftover pillows, yeah, that have been...
And the leftover bed. And interestingly, something to think about is that your friends will never sleep probably in that bed.
Yes.
So they don't know how awful it is. So that is always a little bit tricky. So little simple things, like if it is a bit... too firm, which is quite unusual for the second bed. It's usually the hand-me-down. And if it is a bit too firm, maybe fold the quilt and sleep on the quilt a little bit so you get a little bit more support in the spine. Because remember, the spine isn't flat, and that's the problem that we have, is that your hips and shoulders create sort of the either end of a suspension bridge. And if that spine is not being supported, then that's when we start getting problems, because what happens is the muscles don't relax overnight, and then they keep tense, and they support the spine through the night to try and help you a little bit as much as they can. And it's when you get up in the morning that the muscles go into spasm, and that's when you get the acute back problems that we see when you've been on the bad bed. If the bed's too soft, depending on your circumstances, ideally get the mattress on the floor so you've got a firmer base underneath it. That might help. Just some sort of simple things that you may be able to do when you're in a bit of an emergency situation.
Terence in Newark has a medical condition, and obviously it's difficult to advise when it comes to a specific, but he's got shingles and says he only gets an hour of sleep tops. He's got doctors suggestion of taking ibuprofen for the pain, but doesn't really get a good night's sleep. When you've got a condition that is causing you pain or a sensation of some sort, that really can take over the mind, can't it? You feel like you're never going to get to sleep because of this pain. And yet, the body will eventually let you fall asleep. The body does eventually forget that something's causing you irritation or pain in most cases, doesn't it?
I get the impression that some people are... Because then you just get more uncomfortable and more wound up, and that adrenaline kicks in and you just can't get away from it. But certainly any type of, I mean, as a chiropractor, we're not allowed to prescribe medication, but we can suggest over-the-counter things like sort of paracetamol or ibuprofen-type-based products. We normally recommend that, you know, people do utilise those. They're saying, oh, I don't like taking tablets. But then when I explain to them, actually, your body does need those long, extended periods of time pain-free to allow you to heal, the penny drops then, and they actually start listening to that. So certainly any painkillers that the or anti-inflammatories that the GP has recommended, please, you know, do as it says on the tin and take them, even if it's only for a few short days, because you'll find that actually taking those for sort of the recommended 3 days, you then get on top of the illness or the condition, and your body can, because your body's sleeping, it's actually starting to heal, and actually then you've broken the mold, if you like, and allowing the body to take charge and get healing it itself. So don't be too proud to take some painkillers and anti-inflammatory support.
Okay, well, I'm hoping that may be some consolation for Terence.
So some blustery weather ahead at the weekend.
And how well do you sleep, if you don't mind me asking? Because you have some interesting shift patterns, don't you? Sometimes you're on working quite late, sometimes you're here first thing in the morning.
So on the weather desk, our shifts are either 4:30 in the morning until 2:30 in the afternoon, or 1 till 11 in the afternoon going into the evening. I'm a night owl, so I find the 1 till 11's an absolute piece of cake. But the earlies, which I do more of, really difficult, because I'm definitely a night owl and my alarm clock goes off at 3:30 in the morning. So it is a bit of a struggle to get some sleep sometimes, but make up for it the weekends.
Okay. So you just save it all up for the weekend. Do you have any techniques, tricks, tips? Do you have an eye mask, ears, plugs?
Well, I've recently found on, I'm going to sound very corporate here, and I don't mean to on this occasion, on BBC Sounds, CBeebies for kids, little tiny kids, has got some sort of neutral sounds. So they've got like 8 hours of rainfall sounds or 8 hours of wave sounds. If I really can't get to sleep, if I plug myself into that, I actually find it really helps. So thank you, CBeebies, for helping 29-year-olds get to sleep.
Alex, thank you very much indeed. You'll see her wide awake for you in about an hour from now on East Midlands Today. Let's hope there isn't the sound of too much rain falling, because you may drop off partway through the forecast. Alex Newton is here, the Beeston chiropractor. So some interesting points there from Alex, I think. The sounds that fill your sleeping time can be very important. If it's an outside sound that's distracting you, it can keep you awake, can't it? But like Alex, a noise was, if I am struggling at all, I'll put the radio on quietly on a speech channel. Just almost too quiet to hear it properly, but loud enough that it's there, just distracting me from my turmoil of thoughts.
I mean, that's what we said earlier, is the just always to distract you from that worrying about what's happening at work or what's happening in your life, and just a change of dynamics and letting your mind think about something else and allowing that melatonin level to raise within your system so that you can start to switch off and keeping that adrenaline level low. That's
also
what we need to aim for.
CBeebies is where Alex has found that calming sound, and obviously designed for parents with kids that get a bit sort of hyperactive come bedtime. Having children or grandchildren can actually be a cause for lack of sleep, can't it, really?
Yes, well, with grandchildren, I think you can hand them back, can't you? So you don't have to have them every night, all night, consecutive nights. But you know, as a parent, when I recall, you know, my kids, you know, weren't brilliant sleepers, particularly my second one, and it does become extremely draining. And then we go into the trying to get through the next day, as we discussed earlier. It's let's binge on refined carbohydrates to keep me going.
Well, here's the link between sleep and your waistline. I mean, this is I think this is really, really important. We explain.
It's frightening,
you
isn't it?
You can explain this.
Yeah.
Why, if you don't get a good night's sleep, you can start piling on the pounds.
Because you've got to keep going. You've got still got to get the kids to school, or you've got to get to work. And how am I going to manage? And we can't really be bothered to. We're too tired to make a proper meal, and then we binge on the crisps and the chocolate bars and the sweets and that refined carbohydrate. You know, as we know, puts the weight on. So,
but it also sort of takes away the tiredness temporarily.
Temporarily, but then as soon as the dynamics change within the blood and the sugar levels drop, then we get that irritability and the headaches and all sorts of other symptoms can actually materialise. So you've got to be quite careful there. And more worryingly, long term, it puts a lot of strain on various organs in the body, particularly something like the pancreas, which is the organ that converts your sugars into different chemicals to store within your body. So you need to make sure you don't strain those organs particularly, because then you're going to looking at long-term diabetes and things like that. So really try and maintain and try and get yourself some snacks that are not those refined carbohydrates. So be prepared that you're going to be hungry mid-morning because you've had a bad night with the children. Try and make sure that you've got sort of snacks of perhaps carrots and fruit and nuts and things like that. Perhaps not so much the fruit, but because that again is a carbohydrate, so you've got to be careful there. It does take a little bit longer to digest, but sort of more protein type based things rather than diving in that bag of sugar of sweets or crisps or chocolate there. Be careful with that. And sugar, I have a couple of extra teaspoons of sugar in my tea or coffee.
I need a lift, the caffeine
and that sort of thing. Again, to get you through, it's all very short term stuff is setting up problems long term for your health as well as your waistline.
And then you stay awake at night worrying about the fact you're putting on weight, and then it's a terrible, terrible, vicious cycle. But I don't know how many people have made that connection between their tummy and their
sleeping patterns. Yeah, maybe think about it. Yeah. See if you can address that and try and stick to the more protein based and the plant based food rather than diving for the sugary stuff.
So, at the risk of mixing metaphors here. Is it which came first, chicken or the egg here? Do you need to sort out your sleeping so that you'll have a better diet, or you sort out your diet so you get better sleep? I'm not sure which one you tackle first.
I think if we can get the sleep right, once your sleep's broken, then you're in the vicious circle, aren't you? So, okay. Yeah.
So you need to understand what it is that's keeping you awake. It could be a condition. I mean, I've asked what keeps you awake, and does seem as though it is often a medical problem. And Kelly says, I've got fibromyalgia, a problem sleeping on one side because I get pins and needles. I can't sleep on my with my back to the door. If I sleep on my good side, I'm forever tossing and turning, and some nights I don't sleep at all. We'll talk about posture and getting comfortable in a minute, because this is really your chiropractic area of expertise. But do you have people coming to you with a specific condition, like Terence had shingles, Kelly's got fibromyalgia? Can you, as a chiropractor, actually help given that serious medical condition?
No, we don't treat conditions like that. I mean, usually there's co-conditions that are going with that, which are more of a mechanical base that we would work on from a chiropractic perspective. However, we need to know that they are suffering from these other ailments as well, and then we can alter our treatment regime and the type of treatment we give as a result of that. So someone who has fibromyalgia, when they come in, that it's very painful for them to actually have a lot of hard pressure applied to them while we're treating them. So we do sort of do more gentle treatment, and we expect them to respond, take a little bit longer to respond to treatment as well. So, and most people sort of usually feel a little bit sore for a day or two after treatment, but sometimes I've had patients even needing a week or 2 weeks between their next adjustment to just sort of calm things down from the treatment that they have. But we do lots more sort of massage and what we call soft tissue work on those people, because increasing the blood flow to those muscles actually helps quite a lot. And I'm not sure, I haven't really sat down and wondered whether that actually helps their sleeping or not by having treatment. Certainly by reducing the problems with their other complex problems from a mechanical perspective will actually help facilitate that. But we don't directly treat the shingles or the fibromyalgia.
Alex Newton, chiropractor, talking about getting a good night's sleep, posture, relaxing, getting the body to be ready for sleep. What sort of process, what sort of things should people be thinking of as they lay in bed? We'd all like to just get into bed, put the light out and be asleep, but for very few people that happens.
The problem is, I think we develop habits of sleeping, and sleeping postures, our favourite. We've got to lie in this way, and our arms got to be here, and our legs got to be there, and the pillow's got to be just right, and we spend quite a lot of time fidgeting and getting that right. But we've got to be careful that we don't get into bad postures. And one of the things that we see very commonly at the clinic is people wanting to sleep on their tummies. And that's really, really bad for your posture and really bad for your spine. And we see a lot of people with neck problems as a result of that. So, you know, if you're lying on your tummy, you've got to rotate your head completely to one side. That puts a lot of compression on the nerves. So on one side of the neck, the nerves are being compressed. On the other side, they're being overstretched. And also the muscles in the neck. There's a lot of muscles in the neck region at the front and the back of the neck to hold that very heavy weight on top of your shoulders. It takes a lot of coordination to allow that that weight to be balanced up there, and those muscles are either overstretched or compressed. And people habitually who sleep on their tummy, it's one of the first things we recommend, particularly when people come in with neck problems, to stop doing that, getting themselves that shaped pillow to allow that nape of the neck to be supported, but really making a conscious effort to stop sleeping on your tummy is really important, and one of the most important things that I think we recommend.
I seem to remember a while ago there was a big amount of fuss about sort of V-shaped pillows. These were the answer to everybody's sleepless nights. I guess over the years people have tried different things, shapes, but we still have the oblong pillow. Is that the best shape of pillow, the oblong, in your opinion?
Well, it's got to support the nape of the neck. We've right. got to support that gap
so
between the
blade, sort of
the tip of the shoulder,
bit.
And then scoot into the small of the neck, the nape of the neck there underneath the ear. Mm. That's where you need that support. And if you're not getting that support, then as we said earlier, the neck, like the when your lower back is being supported, is not being supported, it's like a suspension bridge, those muscles will not relax, and then they get very tired and you wake up with that very stiff neck in the morning. Mm. And that's not good. So make sure that you've got something into the nape of the neck there to support that. So,
And I mentioned at the beginning of this the notion of deliberately relaxing your body. I don't know, do you know what I mean? This idea sort of you lie in bed and I start with my feet and think, okay, I'm relaxing my toes. That's, and now I'm relaxing my feet and ankles. And you physically make yourself relax, basically. Mm-hmm. Sounds contrary, no. But it does sort of work. And usually, I'm not even halfway through that. Honestly.
You don't get to the knees, yeah.
No.
It's
a really weird thing, isn't it?
It's turning that mind off, isn't it?
Is that what it is?
It's the mind thing that we talked about before,
right, so
worrying about what's going on at work. Mm. You're looking, it's like reading sort of a nonsense type of book as well, just to focus your mind on something else to allow that that sleep to come to you without trying to do any calculations. But calculations are one of the biggest problems. Looking at your clock in the night, that's the worst thing you can do, because if you look at your clock, you then calculate how many hours left of sleep you've got.
And then you worry.
And then you start. And once you've made that calculation, your brain is switched on. Mm. So be careful. Turn the clock away. Rely on the alarm clock going off and not looking at the calculation. So if you lie there and go, right, I've got 4.5 hours. Once you've done that calculation, bing, your brain is working now, because mathematics will get your brain stimulated in the middle of the night. Not good.
Yeah, you've given brilliant advice as always, and that's the chiropractor Alex Newton from the Beeston Chiropractic Clinic, and I'm hoping that will have helped you maybe get a better night's rest. We'll see you again in a few weeks.